It's been an interesting week. And then I'll read you the preface for this morning. Thank you, that's perfect. Yeah, actually, that's perfect. If you could just take, yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. So, Father, we love you and we give you thanks for this morning. Father, you are bigger than any enemy we could possibly face. Lord, you've never left us. You'll never forsake us. And you're always there when we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, I ask again that you would glorify yourself through the name of Jesus Christ in each and every one of us this day. Lord, that you would teach us through your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Father, be glorified in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're going to be hopscotching around the idea. I was going to have a PowerPoint, but that didn't work. And that's okay, because now I can just use my PowerPoint as my notes, because I'll tell you a funny. I lost my notes, and the only thing I have is the PowerPoint, so. So that is what it is, right? The idea for today is John 14. So someone find John 14 for me, verse 6. And when you find it, you can just go ahead and stand up and read it if you would like. Or you can stay seated, whatever you prefer.
I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Through me. Yeah. Pretty crazy, huh? But the life, the truth, and the way. That's the focus. And I believe that to get this focus, we have to go through the whole book of Ephesians. So we're going to be spending some time in Ephesians today. And we're going to start in chapter 1, obviously, because it is chapter 1. But I want to tell you guys about my week. And just what happened. So Monday morning, I'm going to the dentist, right? Okay? Going to the dentist. Everyone, you guys love the dentist, right? Dentist is so cool. No, hate the dentist, actually. So I'm on my way to the dentist, okay? And I get my coffee. I come out of the of this gas station, my buddy's shop, Andy. And I'm coming out, and all of a sudden, this guy attacks me, jumps me. Broad daylight for no reason. I'm telling you these things, guys, because the Lord told me, one, not to fight back, not to hurt this guy. I defended myself, but he said, do not hurt him. Oh, I know, some of that's not sitting very well with some of you guys, huh? I can tell. Jesus doesn't want anyone to be hurt. Do you understand that? Not one single person. And you have to give up the right to yourself sometimes to make sure that whatever God wants to do, even if it's uncomfortable, can be done, no matter what the circumstance is. And of course, this guy socks me right in the jaw where the bad tooth is. So I get to the dentist, right? And the dentist is like, you ready for this? I'm like, no. No, I am not. We're not doing this today. And I didn't give him the whole spectrum of what happened. But here's the point. These guys, do you have an enemy that seeks to devour, kill, and maim? Yes or no? Yeah. Yes. Yes, you do. Do you have a Savior that is more mighty than that enemy? Yeah. Yes. So even through the trials and the things you go through, you should be able to smile, huh? Why? Why should you be able to smile? Huh? We have eternal life, that hope. That hope that this isn't just it. This isn't it. And this is just temporary. And one day I get to see the full spectrum of my King's glory. Right? I mean, think about when you're worshiping. Right? Oh, man. And the Lord starts to draw you in. And those of you who know what I'm talking about, and you know what I'm talking about, when you were in the presence of God, can you imagine that? And with with no limitations being in heaven? That's your hope. The presence of God with no limitations. Okay? I'm going to read you this. This is the thought for the morning. The truth, the life, the way, and what we should be fighting for as believers. Here's the preface for Ephesians. Be firmly seated in Christ. Stand in Christ. Walk in Christ. Fight in Christ. Right? Not against each other. Right? Okay. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Is peace the absence of conflict? No. What is peace? What's real peace that surpasses all understanding, right? We talk about it in the Bible. It's listed in the Bible. How do you get a hold of it? How do you lay hold of that peace? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. And Jesus alone. Right? Okay. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of one of power, love, and a sound mind. Right? If your spirit's in, or if God's spirit is inside of you, can we think about this for a second? When you approach God, who does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. Okay. God has not designed us, and I'm just going to read this to you. God has not designed us to compete against one another, but to complete through all the natural giftings and callings that he has given us. The question we must ask ourselves is if we have been walking with Christ for any length of time, right? We already know where we came from, the heart and mind of God, right? So question number one, one of the biggest questions in the world, where did I come from? You already know that, heart and mind of God. Question two, okay? What am I doing here? And what am I doing with what God's given? Okay? Question three, and the final question, which has already been answered. If you belong to Christ, where are you going, believers? Heaven. So we should have bold confidence to approach the Lord. And I do not mean arrogance. Confidence. He's your Abba Father. Your good shepherd. Your all in all. The beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Simple enough, right? So the question is what are we doing with what God has given us? The fight has never been to be with each other. We were meant to complete each other, not compete. We have an adversary who seeks to destroy, kill, and maim, and his first assault was on truth. What are you fighting for? Do we fight for ourselves, or do we fight for the truth that God has put inside of us? And the responsibility of that truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through me. It's a heavy statement, right? Here's another heavy statement. So what we do and say in our lives can literally be the difference between life and death, heaven or hell, right? The presence of God or eternal separation. We're ambassadors of Christ. Okay? Don't answer this question. Just think about it in your own heart. How have you represented the Lord this week? How have you represented the Lord? Apathetically? Lazily? Maybe you think, oh, I'm tired. I've been at this a long time. Well, unless you've been at it longer than Moses, don't tell me you're tired. We have no idea what Moses dealt with, but he was faithful to the call that God put before him, wasn't he? Yeah, one day at a time. Success, as Pastor has told me, Joshua, success isn't always what it looks like. It is doing what God has put before you and continuing to do that faithfully, no matter what it means. I love and hate that saying. It's difficult to understand, right? Okay. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians, Ephesians, Ephesians. And what I want us to focus in on for Ephesians is verse 3. It's a little different now that I'm looking at the thing here. But I want us to look at verse 3, verse 7 through 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 13 and 14. So we're going to hone in on those things, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read verse 1 through like 15. That way we can keep everything in proper context. Okay? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Calvary Chapel and faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, Ephesus, I mean. Blessed be the God. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. No, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he has chosen us before him in the foundation of the world. Do you catch that, guys? Catch that real quick. He chose you. You didn't choose him. And he had a plan for you before he even created the foundations of the world. He thought of you. Does that not blow your mind? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and fill in the blank, put your name there. He thought of you. That's what that's saying. He thought of you. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, that he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. That's what we're made for. To bring God glory. To bring him glory. So if you came from the heart and mind of God, right? And he made you for his glory. The question is what is the purpose that God wants to use, or what is the circumstances that God wants to use in your life to bring him glory? Okay, a lot of times we go, Lord, change these circumstances, they suck. Right? Just being honest. But the Lord's been showing me through Micah Tyler. He's a guy who sings to the Lord. There was a song, I Want to Be Different. And Micah Tyler starts off the song with a prayer. And it was about his grandmother dying of leukemia, which hit home for me because my grandmother's dying of leukemia. Yeah, right? And he goes through this whole prayer, talking to the Lord, just talking to the Lord. But towards the end of the prayer, he says, Lord, he says, don't change the circumstances. Change me through the circumstances that I can walk and go through what you're walking me through, that I could be who you want me to be through these things, that the world might see you, Jesus, that he might see you. They might see you, not me. Remember I told you about that guy who attacked me? Right? He was so bold in his attack. Okay? And I've been thinking about this all week. You know, I've dabbled in martial arts a little bit. I'm not going to say I'm some great anything, okay? Because I'm not. But I will tell you one thing. Jesus Christ, my defender, was there when that man attacked me. Because he went from attacking me to absolute terror and fear on his face and took off. Whew. He stopped attacking me for a reason I don't even understand. I can't even wrap my head around it. But I'm convinced that he saw Jesus. The warrior king. See, we forget. We think, you know, he's the good shepherd. He's Jehovah Rapha. Da, 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 da. What did the Jews call Jesus? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Who is judging at the end of this time period? Who's judging? Hello? Jesus. He's your friend. But don't get it twisted. Don't be arrogant towards the Lord. Approach him boldly as his children, with reverent respect. Right? Yeah. Okay. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen? Amen. Okay. You guys, how many of you are familiar with a royal ring when they seal a letter? Okay? So, you know, they take it, they seal it with wax, and only the person that letter's addressed to can open it, right? Okay? Your lives are addressed to Christ. He's the only one that can open your life in ways you couldn't even imagine. You dig what I'm saying? Right? If you have received Christ, if you are walking with him, then he is the only one that has the power to change anything in your life. Period. No substitutions. Right? Okay. So here's the question, guys, and here's a real heavy question. Because we're all guilty of it. Right? Every single one of us. No, not one righteous. Right? Then if we're only meant to be opened by God, then why? Why do we allow so many things to enter into our life that aren't of him? That's the question. That's the question. It's a heavy question, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, verse 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In heavenly places. 7 through 9. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. What's the mystery? What's the most mysterious thing in the whole universe? Huh? Okay. Grace, what about the fact that the Lord would call me his temple? That he wants to dwell inside? That he wants to make us a holy church? Complete. Okay, so, and this is just stuff that the Lord's been walking me through in my own life. It's been a rough few weeks, okay? Some of you know that I almost got run off the road a few weeks ago because I told you about it, the whole fiasco with this person trying to run me off the road. I'm telling you, I've been under attack for a few weeks now from every which direction. And I'm telling you that if we believe Jesus Christ is the living word that became flesh, right, then this is all Jesus from the beginning to the end. It's all about Jesus, right? Okay, the relationship restored. If we believe those things, what I have discovered in my own life is that God's word is the only stable platform that I have in my life. Does that make sense? Right? No matter which way or what happens in my life, the only thing I can count on is that the Lord is the same today as he is tomorrow and forever. He never changes. He's not wishy-washy. I have a place to stand in freedom with the Lord. In freedom. In freedom. You know, one of my friends, he made an analogy one time. And I won't tell you the situation, but he was talking to a friend and he says, if you were bound by shackles and then somebody purchased you to set you free, literally, okay? He said, literally, imagine that you were held captive by somebody else, not of your own free will. And then all of a sudden this righteous king comes and says, you know what? I pick you. I pick you. You've been redeemed by my name, by my royalty, by my righteousness. Right? He goes, would you ever pick up those chains again? Oh, these were shiny chains. I'm going to put them back on. Would you? No. 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 But do we do that sometimes? We do occasionally, huh? And sometimes we don't even realize that we've shackled ourselves. Right? That's the truth. How free do you want to be? How close to Jesus do you want to be? That's the question. That is the question. Okay? He gave you free will. Do you know why he gave you free will? So you would serve him a free choice, right? He doesn't want robots. Jesus, I love you. So if Jesus doesn't want robots, if he doesn't want an automated response, if he wants a heart cry of the soul and spirit that he made in his image, right? That's wild. Wild. We're the only thing made in his image. That is heavy duty, right? Wow. Wow. The only thing. I believe with all my heart, church, that God has told me to remind you who you are today. I'm dead serious. Who you are, where you came from, what you're doing here, and where you're going. But the question of free will, if you belong to Christ, are you going to do it willingly? Or is he going to have to break your back like he did mine to get you to go along with what he wants? Because I promise you, he'll have his way. If you said, here I am, here's my heart, stamp your holy, royal, heavenly, eternal seal on me. You belong to him. And as he told Jeremiah, go check out the potter's wheel. Jeremiah, what does he do? Oh, he's forming it. Okay. What happens when it gets a throw of its own, Jeremiah? Oh, you have to smash it back down. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. That's literal. That is literal. Do you want to be smashed by God? Or do you want to be built into a holy vessel to quench his thirst? Right? Because those are the two choices. That's it. Heaven or hell. That's it. That's all we get. Okay. Chapter 2. And at the end, we're going to try to put all these prayers together. We're probably not going to get all the way through. We're probably not going to get all the way through Ephesians. But tonight, wherever we don't get to today, this evening, we're going to finish up. So, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. In which you once walked according to the what of this world? Course of this world. According to the what? Of the spirit? Sons of disobedience. Among whom also all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. See, your life is the billboard Christ wants to use. What does your life say about Christ? See, I've learned one thing just recently. And it was intentionally on accident, but I'm sure it was planned on God's part. It was on accident on my part. You ever learn things on accident? Like, right? You ever smash your thumb with a hammer and you learn, wow, that hurts. Right? That's an accidental process of learning, like, I do not want to do that again, right? Okay, and then you have intentional, which would be like, okay, like today, we're here at church, right? We are intentionally coming before the Lord to seek what he has, right? To learn his ways. Okay. But I have learned that sometimes God has to allow really interesting situations to arise. Okay? Really interesting. So it brings the ugly right to the top. And then he skims it off. Because as Pastor Dave has always said, our good shepherd, we have such a good shepherd, amen? Do we not have a good shepherd, David? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. He loves you guys with all of his heart. But as David has taught me, he's taught me that what is in the well is going to come out. Right? Right. Okay, so here's the other question. Can you put something in if it's all the way full? Right, if you have a full tank of gas, think about it like that. If you have a full tank of gas, are you going to stop and put gas in? No. Or if you've got half gas and half water, you've got real low octane gas, don't you? In your tank, think about it like that. Okay, I'm a car guy. I love vehicles. I love cars. Okay? We're making a picture. We're making a picture. If you had half water and half gas, is the vehicle going to drive, yes or no? No. No. Too much mixture, right? Too much mixture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure. No mixture. Jesus said that you can be in the world and not of it. In the world and not of it. Okay? So what does that look like? Well, the only way I know that's accomplishable is if I start my day with God, it will end with God. Does that make sense? Okay? But if I don't start my day with God, well, it's still going to end with God because he's God, I'm not. But if I'm dumb enough not to bow myself before him before I head out the door, it could be rougher than it needs to be, huh? Yeah, it could. Not only that, but if I start off with God's word, I love God's word. We're just having a conversation, right? We're just talking, okay? But if I start with God's word in the morning, that's delicious. It's tasty. It gets me going. It makes my spirit feel full. We were talking about the vehicle. What happens as you drive a vehicle? What gets depleted that it runs on? Fuel, gas, right? So you need spark, air, gas. Something to ignite the oxygen, to make it a stable burn. You can ignite oxygen all day long without gasoline. But if you've ever seen it done, it is scary when oxygen ignites. Okay? I mean, it is terrifying. There is nothing controlled about it. So you need three things to make a controlled burn to make this vehicle run, right? Can we think about God's word as the gasoline we need in our spiritual tanks? Right? Margaret's playing video games back there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Margaret. We love you. You better forward me that video game. It looks fun. No, I'm just teasing. Okay. Here is my favorite part. Can we look at chapter 2, verse 4 of Ephesians? Okay. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. Are you noticing a pattern here? In Christ. Through the Father, in Christ, sealed by the Spirit, all the spiritual giftings and callings you possibly ever need. We know that it is the Lord who distributes the manifold grace, right? Well, think about, why can we stand here today in church? Where are we standing? Grace isn't a license to sin, it's a place to stand. Right? Does that make sense? Right. Okay. Raised us up together. We were talking about completing, not competing. Right? Especially in the church. You ever thought, well, what does so-and-so know? Or have you ever had an attitude with somebody that had authority in the church? I guess I'm the only one. Well, that's cool. Right? Here's the thing. The enemy wants to get your eyes on yourself. God wants to take your eyes and put them on his son, where he put your sin. Right? So here's the question. What are you allowing to be the gaze of your focus? God gave you eyes, he gave you ears, he gave you a mouth, he gave you a body, he gave you free will. Right? We're talking about free will. God doesn't want robots. He wants sincerity. Right? So if he wants sincerity, what does he want from you? Think about it. Come on, somebody answer. We're just talking. He wants everything. Who said everything? Yeah. He wants everything, not some of it. All of who you are, from your head to your toes, he wants it. He made you. You're made in his image. Don't hold back on him. He doesn't hold back on you. And every time you've called on him, he's been there for you. Right? Right. Don't forget who you're addressing. He's the God of the whole universe. Universe. Uni, one word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say what he said when he created the heavens and the earth. It just says God said, let there be light, and there was, right? Okay. But uni, my brother was the one that told me this. One word. One word. And the pastor expounded on it and told me that it meant one spoken word. Universe. Everything in our universe and everything you have is built off the constructs of God's word. Even the air you breathe is because God said it was so. Because he says it's so. If he stops thinking about you, you cease to exist. Okay? You came from the heart and mind. Think about it. If God just said, I'm bored with the universe, just walked away. If God wasn't holding all the planets that rotate in formation, if he wasn't holding all those things together, what do you think would happen? Come on, think about it. Boom. Right? Okay. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Man, you know how cool it would be to be able to say, you know, hey, I did this in the name of Jesus. Or I did this or I did that. No, no. The Lord just lets you be a part of it. Don't be arrogant. The Lord just lets you be a part of it. That's it. That's all. He wants to use you as the means he uses to reach this world, to reach this ridge. The question is how much like Jesus do you want to be? That's up to you because of free will. I mean, yes, you can get to heaven. Sure, no problem. But I don't want to hear when I get to heaven, you could have done better. Why does Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant? Because they were good and faithful, and they were a servant of his. A servant. A servant. Right? Okay. For we are, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, poema, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walk in them. So sit, walk, stand. Right? So first chapter of Ephesians, God gets you seated in who he is. Second chapter, right? We see that there's already a standing and he's teaching us to walk. Okay? Chapter 3, if you wouldn't mind, please. Actually, we got to finish up chapter 2 first. I forgot about this part. I'll just read it to you. This is verse 19 through the end. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fit together, right? Which grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. I find that interesting that he kind of like stops that thought right there, like in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The Spirit of God, right? What's the Holy Spirit given for? Why did Jesus give the Holy Spirit? Huh? What was the first purpose of the Holy Spirit? John 14. Somebody find it. Huh? To dwell inside? What about convict the world of sin? We wouldn't even come to Jesus if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, right? It wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't simply happen. We'd be like, psh, I don't need God, right? That's what we'd do. That's what sin does. It's very, very, very slippery. Sin is. Pastor says, and I love this saying, he says, sin is like the fog. You can see it, but you can't get a grip on it. Right? It is like that. So we have the Holy Spirit so we can get a grip on sin. Yeah. Yeah. He's also our helper. He's also the one who comes alongside, who teaches us. He's also the one who empowers us and gives us the supernatural giftings to glorify the Lord. He's also the one who explains Scripture, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers the Christian walk to be successful. The Holy Spirit, right? We prayed at Bible study, right, Rick? For the Holy Spirit? Yeah. For one purpose. Because if you want to walk with the Lord successfully, if you're tired of like, you know, I've tried this under my own power, this ain't working. Of course it ain't working if you're trying it. You need holy royal authority to get that sin out of there. And that can only be done in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father. Right? Okay. Oh, the mystery. We're going to skip over chapter 3, go straight into chapter 4. The mystery is simply just Christ Jesus inside of you. That's it. That's it. Is that not a mystery that the God of all the universe, the righteous King, would want to dwell in these filthy rags? Is that not a mystery? Can you explain that to me? Because I can't figure that out still to this day. I know he loves us. I know we're made in his image. But seriously, think about that for a second. The most holy royal king. He wants to live here. Dwell here. And be a part of every little facet and detail of my life. Does that not just blow your mind? I can't even wrap my head around that. I can't. It's too big for me to attain. Chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Are you the Lord's prisoner or somebody else's? I would love to be the Lord's prisoner rather than anybody else's. And it's a fight sometimes, isn't it? It's a fight for truth. We talked about the first assault being on truth. That was kind of the opening statement, right? Truth. Can we think about this? If we don't have God's word deep in our hearts, then how are we going to know when a lie comes? Right. That's why it's so important. Spend time with the Lord. You know? He doesn't require scholars. Look, if he can use somebody like me, he can use anybody. I'm proof of that. And if he can get my life sorted out, I have no doubt in my mind he could get anybody's life sorted out. But you know what the most amazing part is how God starts sorting out lives and how he starts doing what he does? Yes, he could say in the clouds, "Hi, I'm God." Right? Been trying to talk to you for a while. What's the means that God uses to get your attention 9 out of 10 times? Huh? Trial? Somebody said people, and that's the right answer. God uses people 9 out of 10 times. That's his preferred means to use. You're made in his image. Does that surprise you that he would rather use people? Right? He wants to use you where you are, not where you're not. And it's uncomfortable. And it's not always fun. But it is always good. Because he's the good shepherd. Okay? So, if we are the prisoner of the Lord and seeking to walk worthy, if we are seeking to walk worthy of the calling which we were called, right? Paul says, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. Right? So we know that peace isn't the absence of conflict. We've already kind of addressed that a little bit. What allows you to have supernatural peace? Right, in the presence of direct conflict. If somebody came up to you and started a fight with you, you know, like what happened at the gas station, okay? That way you guys can have a visual picture. If somebody attacked you out of nowhere, what should your response be? Attack them back? Huh? Wait a minute. Can I ask you guys a question? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They got thrown into a fiery furnace, right? They did indeed. What and whom saved them from those flames? Jesus Christ. And why could they enter into the presence of Jesus? Okay, so first they believed. Check. What's next? Huh? Okay, courage. I think it was because they worshiped. They worshiped God. They said, "You are God, I am not. If we're going to get thrown into this fire, you know what, Lord? I trust you'll get us out of it. Whether that's in this life or the next one." Right? Are you following Jesus? Is he your all in all? Are the flames licking at your feet? Are you walking through the flames? Are you going through trials? Things that you don't even know, like what the heck is going on here. Sometimes God allows the trials not just to change your nature and character. We know that from Romans 5, right? To chisel his nature and character into you, But there's another purpose. Sometimes the Lord has to allow things to get so amplified that the cry of your heart becomes so amplified. Now the presence of God in your life, because you're fully surrendered, is amplified. Amplified. Right? Right. So here's the thing. We're going to fight for the right to ourselves, or we're going to fight to give people Jesus. Because we're the ones standing in the gap of heaven and hell, life and death, eternal separation. Eternal separation. Let's ask a question. Who was hell made for? Satan. It wasn't made for us. We were never intended to show up there. Right? Right. So the fact that most of the world doesn't know Jesus, can we just talk bluntly? The fact that most of the world does not know Jesus should drive us crazy and break our heart. And if it doesn't, then question the motive of your heart. Question it. Because the motive of your heart is the only thing God looks at. To him, sin is sin. It's missing the mark. Whether you miss the mark of who Jesus is or what God wants to do by an inch or 10,000 miles, missing is missing. And it's time to take another shot at the target that God has put there for you, which is Jesus Christ. Right? Okay. We could go into all the spiritual gifts and everything else, but we're almost out of time. I'm just going to read this to you guys. And tonight we'll continue. If you want to come to night church, if you want to get part B to this, come to night church. Okay? I don't think we can go through all of Ephesians in just like 45 minutes, even if we're trying to go as fast as we can. But like I said, I truly believe with all my heart, God wants to remind you who you are, where you came from, what you're doing here, where you're going. Because those are the three questions that everybody has. What am I doing here? Right? Where did I come from? Where am I going? We're not meant to be like the world without hope, wandering to and fro, being tossed by every wind of doctrine. Right? Right. Verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In you all. Right? You ever started a fight with another denomination? I say it to you smilingly because I'm guilty of it. Right? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that matters to God. One, did they receive my son? Did they believe that his sacrifice and what he did on the cross for them is good? Do they believe that he rose again on the third day? Do they believe that the ransom has been paid? Well, then they're going to heaven if they believe that with all their heart, if they've received Jesus Christ. We get so caught up on these silly, goofy little issues here and there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We fight fights and make arguments that were never meant to be fought or argued. Ever. 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 If there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, how do you get to the Father? Jesus said himself, no one comes to the Father but through me. Right? Okay. But to each one of us, grace was given. Verse 7, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led the captivity or the captive, the captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. Now he ascended. What does it mean but that he is also descended into the lower parts of the earth, who descended in also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edification of the body, the edifying, right, of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You hearing me? Does it share? This is what the Lord says is the format for the church. I didn't set this format, God did. God did. He's God, I'm not. Supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Can we be honest? Look around. Look around. Does this not break your heart? This place used to be full. Do you think it breaks God's heart? Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. And if we don't take God seriously, well, this is the result. And don't get me wrong, church, I'm not blaming anything on pastor, but one man can't do it all. We have such a good shepherd and such a faithful pastor to God, but there is responsibility on your part, on my part. And God's going to ask us one day when we stand before the King of Kings, what did you do with my son? What did you do with the Jesus that I gave you? I gave you the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who lives inside you has overcome the world. What are you tripping over? Let's close in prayer. Part B tonight. Can I have the ushers, please? Or the worship team, I guess I should say. I'm part of that, aren't I? Yeah. So, Father, we come before you. Lord, I love you, and I thank you that you set me apart by your word. Father, that you put your holy and royal seal on us, that you gave us bold access to the Father through your Son. Jesus, be gentle with us. We don't even have a clue most of the time. Father, thank you that you are gentle and kind, that you are slow to anger and abounding in truth. Father, I just ask that you would protect this church, that you would put a hedge of protection around it and each one of these that are in here. Father, that you would just give new boldness to walk in the world, but not of it. Father, I also ask that you would make us so much more sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that we'd follow your lead. And Father, that we'd be quick to repent if there is something to repent from, that you would convict us quickly by your Spirit, Lord. Be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Son, his blood was spilled to give me life.
Make me clear. This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study His Word.